come unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord, singing Alleluia. Shout with gladness, dance for joy, O come before the Lord, and play for God on glad tambourines, and let your trumpet sound. Sing a new song unto the Lord, let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord, singing Alleluia. Rise, O children, from your sleep, your Savior now has come. He has turned your sorrows to joy and filled your soul with song. Sing a new song unto the Lord. Let your song be sung from mountains high. Sing a new song unto the Lord, singing Alleluia.
Welcome to all you are visiting with us this morning. Especially welcome McKenna, who's going to be baptized during Mass today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the Lord be with you. Brothers and sisters, let us acknowledge our sins and so prepare ourselves to celebrate the sacred mysteries. You are sent to the contrite of heart. Lord, have mercy. You came to call sinners. Christ, have mercy. You are seated at the right hand of the Father to intercede for us. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to life everlasting. Glory is on page 6. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to people of goodwill. We praise you, we bless you, we adore you, we glorify you. We give you thanks for your great glory. Lord God, heavenly King, O God, almighty Father, Lord Jesus Christ, only begotten Son, Lord God, Lamb of God, Son of the Father, you take away the sins of the world, have mercy on us. You take away the sins of the world, receive our prayer. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, have mercy on us. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Loving and ever-living God, direct our actions according to your good pleasure, that in the name of your beloved Son, we may abound in good works, through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Let us listen to the word of God.
The first reading is a reading from the book of the prophet Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, saying, "Set out for the great city of Nineveh and announce to it the message I will tell you." So Jonah made ready and went to Nineveh, according to the Lord's bidding. Now Nineveh was an enormously large city. It took 3 days to go through it. Jonah began his journey through the city and had gone but a single day's walk, announcing, 40 days more and Nineveh shall be destroyed. When the people of Nineveh believed God, they proclaimed a fast, and all of them, great and small, put on sackcloth. When God saw by their actions how they turned from their evil way, he repented of the evil that he had threatened to do to them. He did not carry it out. This is the word of the Lord.
Teach me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Your ways, O Lord, make known to me. Teach me your paths. Guide me in your truth and teach me, for you are God, my Savior. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Remember that your compassion, O Lord, and your love are from of old. In your kindness, remember me, because of your goodness, O Lord. Teach me your ways, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Thus he shows sinners the way. He guides the humble to justice and teaches the humble his way. Teach me your ways, O Lord.
Is my voice coming through the PA?
Yes.
Yeah, seems strange.
The second reading is a reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I tell you, brothers and sisters, the time is running out. From now on, let those having wives act as not having them, those weeping as not weeping, those rejoicing as not rejoicing, those buying as not owning, those using the world as not using it fully. For the world in its present form is passing away. This is the word of the Lord.
Gospel according to Mark. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. As he passed by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting their nets into the sea. They were fishermen. Jesus said to them, "Come after me, and I will make you fishers of people." Then they abandoned their nets and followed him. He walked along a little farther, and saw James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They too were in a boat mending their nets. Then he called them, so they left their father Zebedee in the boat, along with the hired men, and followed him. The Gospel of the Lord. The first reading talks about the prophet Jonah. And he's carrying a message that God's mad at you people because you're being so bad. And along the way, he says, oh, God changed his mind. And I see they're coming around and so on. Fortunately, we've gotten through this. But at a time, there was the thinking, we still hear it once in a while, that when something really disastrous happens, well, God is mad, and he's punishing people for doing bad things. And what we realize now, that that was a very primitive way of looking at God, to say, okay, this hurricane happened, or that happened, and so on, and God's mad because people aren't being good. And what we realize now, that this love that God is not like that. God loves us all the time. You know why God is unhappy when we sin? Because God knows that it'll never make us happy. And God wants us happy. So when we sin, get off the track, God is not mad, but wanting for us be willing to let God help us, to change us, to give us more strength. When we're sick, God wants us well. And when we sin, it's something like a spiritual sickness. And all God wants is to help us be spiritually well. I'll tell you this over and over again. Because there's something that's going to come, oh boy, this disaster's happened. God's upset. And God's getting back. And it's so important that we not put that on God. You see, you and I, we're not quite that good. And we get mad about something, we want revenge and so on. But please remember, what God wants us is peace and happiness. This kind of gets to this first reading that we had. While Jonah's going there, already because God's mad at those people and he's going to wipe them out. And I think they're starting to see something was wrong there. And then God sees that they're repenting and God doesn't wipe them out. Just the beginning. So it's important for us to think of that. See, otherwise what happens is, if I've sinned, and we all sin some ways or other, big or little, and I think, oh boy, God is mad at me. Well, if I start praying, I'm going to be in contact with God, so, oh, heck, I don't think I better do anything, maybe just lie low. If we thought that, there was a lot of thinking that way. And finally we know when we realize that God is love that that is not true. God is always loving us. To help us on the right path, to help us get back on the right path, as all the time. That's why Pope Francis said, church should be like a hospital in war. When there's a military hospital, everybody's brought in. They don't stop to get this thing or that thing and so on. The doctors there take care of them. heal the wounds. And Pope Francis, church is supposed to be like a field hospital. You take in everybody. And as you take in everybody, you help them. If somebody's way off the track, not to say, oh, we don't want you here. Say welcome and help them become a little bit better. The Church of Jesus is a field hospital. When we're wounded, it's the place to go. We don't heal cancer and things like that, but any spiritual kind of difficulty that there is, come in. That's why we're here. We're not for the elite. We are for all people. I think that was the beginning, the story about Jonah. That gradually we were beginning to see that God's mad and going to get us and punish us and stuff like that. That we're finally catching on. And that, I think, perhaps was the beginning. Think of that. And again, as I've said many times before, when you have a little one who is sick, do you give punishment? Better spank this kid. Kid's got sick. Bothers me. Better give a big spanking. You wouldn't do that. You want the child well. And so you do what you can. Rush off to hospital if it's necessary. What do you want? You want the child to be well. And just think, if we humans can love that deeply, how much, how deep, beyond our imagination, is the love that is God. And I'm going to tell you this over and over again for two reasons. Sometimes I forget, I don't know what to say. Sometimes it's that. Most of the time, though, it is, I don't catch stuff the first time around. I don't catch it the second or the third time around. And finally, after a while, I say, oh, that's what it's all about, huh? And that's particularly true when we come to mystical kinds of things, because it's not the things that we are used to. And so it's good for me. I don't have to study so much. It's good for you too, because we all need to realize the love that God is. Why do we pray? Not to get stuff. I say, God, have me get a great, good sermon today and everybody will like me. And God said, oh, John, you're so stupid. And that's true half the time, you know. But just remember that. God's love is there to heal us when we're sick, the spiritual sickness. God is with us when we're well, to help us get more deeply spiritual. All the time, that love that makes us be, that love that makes us be, is always on our side. Don't ever be scared. God's not mad. God can't get mad. If all you are is love, you can't get mad. Well, I wonder how long it is since the Big Bang. It's taken a long time to get that all figured out. But please remember that. And we'll do our little bit of prayer. Just close your eyes, and I'll close mine, and be quiet. We're going to imagine that God is looking at us and loving us. That's imagination. God hasn't got eyes, and God's not looking at us. but the love that is God that knows everything. And we use this imagination because it points to what is really true, that God is on our side, knows us, what's going on. And so what we do is imagine God is smiling at us, loving us, delighted to be with us. We are his children. We are God's beloved kids. And God is there for us to open our hearts, to be healed, to be forgiven, to be given strength and courage. We don't ever have to be afraid. And let that love that God is penetrate our hearts and our minds and help us grow. And God will not be at rest till all of us become lovers, lovers of people close to us, lovers of people far away, lovers of people we don't like, some lovers of people who have done bad to us. It's only the love that God is that can bring that about. We as humans aren't able to love that deeply. But as we let that love that God is into us, we begin to love with the very love that is God. We are never alone. God is always on our side, forever. God bless you.